Then the Philistines gathered together all their armies at Aphek, and the Israelites encamped by a fountain which is in Jezreel. And the lords of the Philistines passed in review by hundreds and by thousands, but David and his men passed in review at the rear with Achish. Then the princes of the Philistines said, "What are these Hebrews doing here?" And Achish said to the princes of the Philistines, "Is this not David, the servant of Saul, king of Israel, who has been with me these days or these years? And to this day I have found no fault in him, since he defected to me." Then the princes of the Philistines were angry with him. So the princes of the Philistines said to him, "Make this fellow return, that he may go back to the place which you have appointed for him. And do not let him go down with us to battle, lest in battle he become our adversary. For with what could he reconcile himself to his master, if not with the heads of these men? Is this not David, of whom they sang to one another in dances, saying, 'Saul has slain his thousands, and David his 10,000s.'" And Achish called David and said to him, "Surely as the Lord lives, you have been upright, and you're going out, and you're coming in with me in the army is good in my sight. For to this day I have not found evil in you since the day of your coming to me. Nevertheless, the Lord's do not favor you. Therefore return now and go in peace, that you may not displease the lords of the Philistines." So David said to Achish, "But what have I done? And to this day, what have you found in your servant, as long as I have been with you, that I may not go and fight against the enemy of my lord, the king?" Then Achish answered and said to David, "I know that you are as good in my sight as an angel of God. Nevertheless, the princes of the Philistines have said, 'He shall not go up with us into battle.' Now therefore, rise early in the morning with your master's servants who have come with you, and as soon as you are up early in the morning and have light, depart." So David and his men rose early to depart in the morning to return to the land of the Philistines. And the Philistines went up to Jezreel. All scripture is inspired by God and profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man of God may be thoroughly equipped, lacking in nothing. You may be seated. Obviously, I'm not going to last long, so this may be the shortest sermon I ever preach. And Vaughn, please do not put this on sermon audio. When we last left David, he was with Achish, the king of Gath, one of the five major cities of the Philistines. Achish assumes that when the Philistines go into battle against the Israelites, that David and his men will go with them. That's where we leave off in 1 Samuel chapter 28, verses 1 and 2. Then we have that episode about Saul, because he cannot get guidance from God, seeking guidance through a medium at Endor. And now we return back to David. And David is still in this dilemma that we left him in 1 Samuel chapter 28, verses 1 and 2. He's between a rock and a hard place. What is he going to do? If he goes in to battle with the Philistines against the Israelites, he will be doing battle against his very own people, against his very own nation, against the covenant people of God. On the other hand, if he doesn't go into battle with Achish, he is liable to find that the king of Gath will put him to death. The very thing he was trying to avoid when he left Israel and went down into the land of the Philistines. So as the Philistine armies are gathering together, and it talks about the lords of the Philistines, there were five main cities in the land of the Philistines. And each one of those cities had a ruler or a lord or a prince. And so these five princes are gathering their armies together in Aphek, and that ought to ring a bell. I want you to remember 1 Samuel chapter 4, where the Philistine army was encamped before going into battle against the Israelites. When they go into battle, the Philistines kill 4,000 of the Israelites. The Israelites, smarting from that defeat, decide that to pull out their good luck charm to go get the Ark of the Covenant and have the Ark of the Covenant precede them into battle. Surely if they have the Ark of the Covenant, they will have the blessing of God. They will win the battle. And so they go into battle against the Philistines again. And this time 30,000 men lose their life. The Ark of the Covenant is captured by the Philistines. And you remember what happened with the Ark of the Covenant then as it went to those five Philistine cities. Each one of them was eager to get rid of it because bad things happened. And so Aphek, that place where those battles took place, where the Ark of the Covenant was lost and the Israelites suffered a serious defeat. The sons of Eli lost their lives. And then when Eli received news of what had taken place, particularly in relationship to the loss of the Ark of the Covenant, Eli, the high priest himself, dies. And so the Lord of the Philistines are gathering their armies together to fight against the Israelites. And as they pass in review, it is noticed that David and his men are there. They're in the rear with Achish, but they are there nevertheless. Well, the five Philistine lords are not too excited to see David. In fact, they ask, what are these Hebrews doing here? The word Hebrew is meant to be a derogatory term. And they wonder why David and his men are there. Well, Achish comes to David's defense. Is this not David, verse 3, the servant of Saul, king of Israel, who has been with me these days or these years? Well, we know by this time that David has been in the land of the Philistines for 16 months. He says, and to this day I have found no fault in him since he defected to me. Now, remember the phrase, I find no fault in him, because this is going to be the point I want to make tonight. Not in relationship to David, but in relationship to the son of David. Because Pilate says exactly the same thing about the son of David, Jesus Christ. Well, the princes of the Philistines aren't swayed at all by Achish, and they are, in fact, angry with him. You know, how can you be so stupid to bring David and his men here to this place where we're gathering together to battle against the Israelites? So they said to him, make this fellow return. In other words, can you please get rid of this problem? Make him go home. Back to the place where you have appointed for him. You remember that Achish had given David a city for David and his men to dwell in, Ziklag. And it was from Ziklag that David launched these raids into the surrounding territory. And then when Achish asked him where he had come from, David lied. David gave Achish the impression that he was attacking the southern part of Judah. That is, he was attacking his own people. Well, you know, that was okay with Achish. He was fine with that because he said, now David will become a stench, you know, in the nostrils of his own people. And so that's a good thing because that will encourage David even further to throw his lot in with us. And so the Philistines, the lords of the Philistines, want David to return to Ziklag. And there are two things that they're concerned about. First of all, they're concerned that if David goes with them into battle, and David and his armed men are bringing up the rear, that not only will they be battling the Israelites in the front, But they will also be fighting Israelites in the rear because they're afraid that David will turn on them and attack them. And there's nothing that they desire less than to be attacked at the rear by well-armed Israelites. And so they also remember that there was this little song sung about David that went like this: Saul has slain his thousands and David his 10,000s. Not 10,000 Amalekites, not 10,000 Moabites, 10,000 Philistines. They know that David has caused many to become widows in the land of the Philistines. And so they don't want David nor his men to go with them into battle. So Achish calls David and said to him, "Surely as the Lord lives, you have been upright, and you're going out and you're coming in with me, and the army is good in my sight, for to this day I have not found evil in you since the day of your coming to me. Nevertheless, the Lord's do not favor you. Therefore, return now, go in peace, that you may not displease the lords of the Philistines." And so the majority won out. Achish does what they want him to do, and he tells David to return to Ziklag. Now, David's response is surprising. We read that response in verse 8. David says to Achish, "But what have I done?" In other words, why are you sending me back? I'm in this. I want to go with you. "And to this day, what have you found in your servant as long as I have been with you, that I may not go and fight against the enemies of my lord the king?" Now, there are various ways that the commentators have handled David's statement. There are three different views that are put forth by the commentators. And if I can find it in my notes, I'll let you know what those three views are. They are here somewhere. One is that David was merely carrying forward his false loyalty to its necessary end, lest his duplicity be suspected. Matthew Henry expresses this view, writing, and I quote, "He seemed anxious to serve him when he was at this juncture, really anxious to leave him, but was not willing that Achish should know that he was." The second view of David's objection is that the Philistines' lords had actually perceived David's true intent, namely to turn on them in the heat of battle so as to strike a decisive blow for Israel. When David expressed his zeal to fight against the enemies of my lord the king, Achish assumed that David was referring to him as the king and Israel as his enemies, whereas David may well have been speaking in deceptive language to justify himself in all events. This language, my lord the king, was David's habitual designation for who? For Saul. For King Saul. And so it may be on this occasion that what David was really saying is that he was going to go into battle against the enemies of my lord the king, meaning that the Philistines were his enemies and that Saul was his king. The third view, and this is the view that I favor, is that David really wanted to fight on the side of the Philistines against Israel. This was Merrill Unger's view. He wrote in his commentary, "David's reply, asserting his willingness to stay with the Philistines and fight against the Lord's people, reveals how deeply unbelief can plunge a believer into inconsistency and spiritual treason. Only God's grace restrained David from plunging deeper into the shame that unbelief always brings. Unbelief makes a sad spectacle of any believer. Perhaps during the time of David's stay in the land of the Philistines, David had time to think, to reassess, grow in his anger towards Saul, his anger then becoming bitterness, and in his bitterness, he was now willing to do what he had previously been unwilling to do, and that is to lift up his hand against the Lord's anointed. It seemed like God was not doing anything to get rid of Saul so that David might ascend to the throne. So perhaps David thinks, I'll take matters into my own hand and I'll go to battle against the Israelites and I'll get rid of King Saul. I think that's probably the most likely explanation, that he was really going to go into battle against his own people and against King Saul, hoping for Saul's death in that battle. Well, little did David know that Saul was going to die in that battle, that it had already been prophesied by Samuel. You remember when the medium conjured up Samuel's spirit, and Samuel, not really God, brought Samuel's spirit up and from the dead. So Samuel tells Saul that he is going to die and that his sons are going to die. But David doesn't know that. David has no clue that that's going to happen. So Achish answers David and said, I know you're as good as in my sight as an angel of God. Nevertheless, the prince of the Philistines has said, he shall not go up with us to battle. The matter's been decided, David. You ain't going. That's just the fact. Now, therefore, rise early in the morning with your master's servants who have come with you, and as soon as you are up early in the morning and have light, depart. So David and his men rose early to depart in the morning to return to the land of the Philistines, and the Philistines went up to Jezreel. Now, one point real quickly to notice, and that is this, that even though David has acted in unbelief by going into the land of the Philistines and seeking safety there, while David has been faithless, God has remained faithful. God has remained faithful to David. And God is delivering David out of the predicament he finds himself in. He delivers David from going into battle and fighting against the Israelites. God does that. God does that in his mercy. God does that because how do you think the Israelites would have felt if David had gone into battle against them? Saul had been killed in that battle. Saul's sons had been killed in that battle. Thousands of Israelites had lost their lives in that battle. And then David is placed on the throne of Israel. You think he would have received a warm reception? No, that wouldn't have happened. And so God, in his faithfulness to the promise that he made to David when David was anointed as king by Samuel, continues to be faithful to his servant, even in the midst of David's unbelief and sin. What a God we have. We fail, and we fail often, do we not? But our God never fails. He is always faithful to his people, always faithful to his promise, not to lose any that he had given to Christ and whom Christ redeemed by his death on the cross. But the thing that I wanted to point out that I think is the most important as we think about the Lord's Supper is this. Three different times, Achish says of David, I find no fault in him. Now he found no fault in David because David had completely bamboozled him. It wasn't because there wasn't any fault to be found. It was just that David had been so duplicitous that Achish believed that David was like an angel. Yeah, David was a great guy, the best guy that you could possibly imagine. There was nothing of any fault to be found in him. He was a man of honesty, a man of integrity, a man of the highest character. And so thought Achish. But that wasn't the truth. When we come into chapter 23 of Luke's Gospel, we find the greater son of David standing trial before Pontius Pilate. And Pilate said in Luke 23:4, using almost exactly the same words that Achish used of David, "I find no fault in this man." Later, Pontius Pilate said, "And indeed, having examined him in your presence, I have found no fault in this man concerning those things of which you accused him." And neither did Herod. Then, when the crowd cried out for Barabbas to be released and Christ to be crucified, Pilate said for the third time, "Why? What evil has he done? I have found no reason for death in him." The words of Achish about David were not true. But Pilate's words about Christ were completely true. There was no fault in Jesus Christ. He was without sin. God made him who knew no sin, Paul writes, to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. It was because Jesus Christ lived a life of perfect submission to the Lord God that he was a perfect sacrifice for the sins of those he came to save. Had any fault been found in Christ, any blemish whatsoever in his character, any hint of disobedience, of a wicked thought, or of a evil desire, then Jesus would not have been without fault, and Jesus would have been disqualified to be our Savior. But there was no fault of any kind, no sin, no wickedness in the Lord Jesus Christ. And it was because he was the spotless, sinless Son of God, he was the perfect lamb to be sacrificed for our sins being placed on him on the cross, and his death being the death that he died for us. And so it was only a faultless Christ that could save us from our sins. And even though Achish was wrong about David, Pilate was spot on when it came to the greater son of David. No fault, none whatsoever in him. And thus he becomes the perfect sacrifice, the Lamb of God who takes away our sin. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the perfection of his character. We thank you for his perfect obedience. We thank you for his unfailing love for you and his undying love for the people that you gave him to save. Father, we thank you that we are among those for whom Christ died. We thank you that he was the perfect sacrifice, the acceptable sacrifice for our sins. And we thank you, our Heavenly Father, that it was by his stripes that we are healed. We thank you for those words of the Apostle Paul, that you made him who knew no sin to become sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. As that righteousness of Christ, that perfect obedience, is imputed to us. Father, we thank You that we now stand holy and blameless in Your sight because we have been clothed in the righteousness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, we pray that as we come to the table, that we might remember His great sacrifice for our salvation. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.